Live from the Lincoln Douglas Building in downtown Quincy, the only local show taking a principled stand on the issues of the day.
This is how it happens. It's the natural process of things.
The view of the entrenched is predictable, but it's also erroneous.
With Sean Seacrease.
We have an addiction in this country, not only to government welfare and government handouts, but more fundamentally, to other people's money.
And Quaid.
Again, you're dancing with government.
This is the Morning Meeting.
You cannot continue to advocate for status quo when status quo has run the ship aground.
On Talk Radio 930, WTAD.
It's the Morning Meeting on Talk Radio 930, WTAD. Sean Seacrease, Quaid, alongside you. Quaid, we need to institute one thing in this country that I have always been jealous of, that the cousins across the pond have, and we're seeing it play out today as the Brexit vote comes up, and that is legalized betting on everything.
I thought you were going to say relegation.
Well, we need that, too. We absolutely
that's more than one thing.
Need that, too, here to make our sports have a little more teeth in them for the losing side. But but we love winners, and one of the ways that you win big and make that, as they said in, was it the Cincinnati Kid, where they said money won is twice as sweet as money earned?
Cincinnati
Kid? Or was
kid.
That, that could
no,
have been
that's,
it.
Or that's,
was that, that was, yes. With him and the other guy.
Yeah,
Worm. We both know what... No, it wasn't from Rounders.
They
wasn't? They were quoting an older movie than that, but Money One is...
I thought it was in Rounders.
Twice as sweet as Money Earned. The line
pretty
was...
Sure.
It was in there, but they were quoting... Oh, Robert Redford, and they run the con at the end of the show.
Oh, yeah.
Cincinnati Kid was a different one. That wasn't it, but it was one of my... And I'm embarrassed.
What was the point in the first place right now?
Okay, so we had talked about earlier this week and at the end of last week that we were both going to pay close attention to Britain's exit vote to exit the EU. That's
right.
Today.
Yep.
That's today. And that they have legalized betting on everything there. So there's betting lines on whether or not the vote will pass.
Oh, okay.
So one of the ways that, and we know this from this country, you can kind of extrapolate some things. The people who operate those parlors, whether it be in Vegas or London, smart people, or else they'd be out of business real, real quick. And they downgraded their percentage chance that the break will pass from 25% to 17%.
Mm.
So that's, in case you were kind of getting a handle on it, wondering, it looks like it's going to be minimal. And one of the reasons for that is...
You're saying bookies pull better
than other people. Well, I don't know if they pull, but I think they always seem to be sharp about these topics. One of the reasons that it may go against is because this isn't England voting. It's Britain. Now,
okay,
hopefully people
that includes Wales, that includes
Northern
Scotland.
Ireland, Scotland. Yeah. So the feeling is that those populations want very much more to stay in the EU. Mm. Than Englanders themselves.
Quick tip, though. Brexit, we talked about the parallels between England or Britain and Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And Texas, maybe it's time to copyright Brexit, right? Wait a minute, that's not right.
No, that's not right. It would have to start
Go
with
ahead
a,
and copyright it anyway.
Yeah, it would have to start with a T somewhere along the line, but... I think the parallels will be self-evident if this goes on to happen. Coming up on the show this morning, we'll be joined by Aaron Baker from Axiom Strategies, our Missouri insider, as we talk about a whole variety of things. And I know Aaron's right for this show, not after our first visit last week in a long time, but he texted me something last night that he wants to look at the gubernatorial race in a certain light that is going to tickle both of us just right.
It's not a complete reframing. It's just
no. It's just the assigning
a view askew.
What? It's the assigning of characteristics of characters of fiction people who are actually.
You're right. He is right for us
in the race. We get to start things off with a heavy dose of Missouri issues this morning. Our first guest is Missouri District 8 Senator Will Krause, our guest this morning. Will, good morning. Welcome to the show. You already look like you've made a bad decision by coming on with us.
Well, good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you. I don't know why you think this is a bad decision.
Well, no, you look like you're thinking to yourself, man, I don't know about these two guys.
I think you guys are fun, and this is a fun, lighthearted show. We're going to talk about some good, important issues here in the Secretary of State's race for Missouri, and I'm looking forward to it.
So you've chosen to run for Missouri Secretary of State this year. Missouri, a little bit different dates for their primaries than in Illinois. Primary still coming up in Missouri on August 2nd. Missouri is also not a same-day register-to-vote state. So last day to register to vote is right after the 4th of July weekend, coming up on July 6th. This office certainly tackles some of those issues, so we'll talk about that as we move along. But a reminder, if you're not registered to vote in Missouri, you can't do it the way Illinois does it. You have to be registered ahead of the cycle, and that last day is coming up on July 6th. So why decide to leave your Missouri Senate seat and now run for Secretary of State?
Yeah, I got into the race about 2 years ago to run against the Democrat incumbent, Jason Kander. We had a situation where there's an initiative petition that had rampant signature fraud, and our current Secretary of State did very little about it. So we need a Secretary of State that's going to take voter fraud seriously. We had a couple situations, and I'll be glad to talk about them now, or we can talk about them later, where fraud has gone unpunished. One of the situations happened in Kinloch, Missouri. 27 people voted from a vacant apartments owned by the city. They went out and surveyed, found out the apartments were vacant, and there's been no prosecution. Why have we not done something to bring people to justice?
One of the issues that has divided what we see in Illinois and what we see going on in Missouri is Missouri's state government appears right now much more willing to spend time and resources rooting out fraud. I know it's been unpopular how long some of the state income taxes have been delayed, but it's been said, look, we're trying very hard to prevent fraudulent, not only payments, but the cheating of the system, it being maybe your tax ID being co-opted and somebody's trying to steal your money. And that takes some time to comb through it. This, I think, is no different in that you're trying to prevent fraud so that we have a representative government that is actually, you know, by the people, for the people.
We actually had a situation in Kansas City area where a state representative wins a primary by one vote. 2 years goes by. He's reelected, but find out that the first election, his aunt and uncle voted in one of the precincts that was probably voted for him, but they weren't authorized to vote there because they didn't live in that precinct. So he won by one vote, aunt and uncle's two. He legitimately basically stole an election. And this is the type of thing that could happen at all levels of government.
Yeah, voter ID is certainly a worthwhile problem to tackle. A lot of people will say, they'll acknowledge that it happens, but it doesn't happen enough that we need to put all of this emphasis behind it. What is the number? 220,000 Missourians don't have a picture ID. How's that possible?
Well, I think that's an exaggeration by our current Secretary of State, which I noticed I said I was wanting to run against him because he didn't prosecute the voter fraud earlier on the initiative petition. So I believe that we need to make sure that we have a photo ID. You have to have a photo ID to cash a check, to buy tobacco, to buy alcohol, to get Sudafed at a drugstore in Missouri. You have to have a photo ID. So in today's society, everyone has it. And if they don't, the bill that we passed this year will allow them to get one for free in order to vote.
Will Krause, our guest this morning here on The Morning Meeting. A little background now that we've been talking to Will for a moment. He went to Central Missouri State, captained in the U.S. Army Reserve, and District 8, for those who aren't familiar. Think like Blue Springs, Independence, Lee's Summit, none of that area there. Not actual sort of downtown Kansas City, because one of the little things I wanted to gossip about, but it's not in your district, so I won't drag you over the coals, was the whole Kansas City Power and Light district thing and how all that ended up happening over there. But not in Will's district, so we won't bother him with that right now. You did, a few years ago, sign the No New Taxes Pledge.
Mm-hmm.
What do you see in Missouri right now? Is the state operating with the capital that it needs? Is the economy expanding at a rate that has it looking healthy? Some have even said Missouri might be on the road to an income tax-free state like a Texas or Florida. What are you seeing right now as far as how Missouri is getting along with ballot initiatives on the ballot for this fall that include a couple different cigarette tax hikes and so forth?
So you're looking at the chair of the Ways and Means Committee, which is the tax committee in the Missouri mm-hmm. Senate. I also authored and passed a couple years ago the first income tax cut in Missouri's almost over 100 years. So I believe Missouri's taxes are appropriate for where we need to be. I actually want to reduce that tax in the past. The first tax cut take effect next year for the first for the first time. It was going to take our top rate from 6% down to 5.5%. I think what you're seeing on the ballot are people wanting to increase the cigarette tax because we are lowest in the nation with 17 cents a pack. And so a lot of people see that as a travesty, and they see an opportunity to find money and for other realms. And there's two proposals. One will go to roads and one will go to child education.
Will Krause, our guest this morning on
State
the morning.
Senator Will Krause running for Secretary of State in Missouri. The primary coming up August 2nd. One of the areas that you've said you wanted to tackle is you want to cut red tape in Jeff City. When you mention government and efficiency, those are two words that don't go. It's an oxymoron. How are you going to make government more streamlined?
That's funny that you say that because I actually had written down here, this office is often referred to derisively as the office of red tape and bureaucracy.
Yeah.
Sort of, how do you change that?
You know what? You elect a person that has ran a business before, has a degree in business and management, and you elect a conservative Republican that actually cut red tape in Jefferson City. I have taken on the Department of Revenue. They have come in and gone after Missouri businesses. I'm going to lay this out. Last year, I think it was last year, maybe the year before, we passed a bill. The Department of Revenue came in and said, you are a restaurant owner, and you're not turning in enough cash tip receipts from your employees. So we're going to create a formula. This is the state of Missouri. We're going to create a formula that says that you have to turn in this much money. Well, the employer turns in what the employee gives him to turn in, him or her. And so them creating a formula is a way for them to try to get more money. And here's something else. This is income earned by the employee, and you're going after the employer for underreporting of income from the employee. Does that make sense? That's government in its worst. And we passed a bill that said, no, you couldn't use a formula to create, to get revenue from the Restaurant Association. So those are the type of things that I've done in government. And as the next Secretary of State, I will look at the processes in place and find ways to streamline, use technology so that we can reduce the burden on businesses and cut those red tapes that bog down our businesses.
One of my favorite questions to ask candidates who are running for statewide office in Missouri is, how do you see the state? You have two very urban poles in St. Louis and Kansas City, and then you have a rural economy throughout most of the state. When we were talking to Catherine Hanaway, we mentioned the statistic that Missouri's second only to Texas in number of farms in the state. Is it an urban economy? Is it a rural economy? I think it's a little bit of both. How do you make those work together? And what sort of, you know, you mentioned reforms and cutting red tape. How do you kind of manage that across the board in those two very diverse economies?
Well, you know, that's obviously a much more for a governor candidate that's running because he or she is going to be focused on the economy. What we can do in the Secretary of State's office is focus on red tape and making sure that it's easier to do what you need to do with the office. But as a state senator, I will tell you that we have to capitalize on what we have in Missouri. And agriculture is our number one industry, so we got to make sure we focus on that and make sure we promote that in the state of Missouri. And the population of the world is going to continue to grow. So why are we not trying to use technology and improve how our farms operate so we can make sure we produce more more food for the world? And if you look at Missouri, we're centrally located. We have highways, we have rail, we have rivers that are navigable, and we have major airports in Kansas City and St. Louis. So why not use that technology to help draw our food and our agriculture products all around the world?
Will Krause, our guest this morning on the morning meeting.
I was going to say, you just answered the other question, which I was going to throw at you, but now I don't have to. I always ask, is it Missouri or Missouri? But you've clearly been saying Missouri, so thank you for that.
It works. It's fine.
One is correct and one is incorrect, Quade.
Depends on who you're talking to. You know the answer to that. All right, Will Krause, our guest this morning. He's running for Secretary of State in Missouri. Why you, as opposed to Jay Ashcroft or Roy Chin? Missourians love a legacy. Why you over Ashcroft or Chin?
You know, it comes down to a couple different reasons. Number one, I'm the only one that has any leadership experience. I have over 20 years of leadership, whether it's leading men and women in Iraq. We haven't talked about this, but I've been in the military as of next month over 24 years, most of that time flying Chinook helicopters. But I led a ground convoy into Iraq. Also, I've dealt with multi-million dollar projects for Sprint. I manage them and I operate my own small business. I'm the only one of the people running for Secretary of State that has experience in leadership and business. Number two, we need somebody in the Secretary of State's office that has proven that they can get results. If you look at what I've been able to accomplish on my personal life, I've been blessed to be able to fly helicopters. I enjoy that very much. I've also been blessed to be able to pass some numerous bills that are very important, like the first income tax cut in almost 100 years. I also passed voter ID. We need somebody in the Secretary of State's office that can get things done. And if you look at our records, you'll see that my record of getting things done is far superior than to my opponents. And we need somebody that can win tough races. I've been able to beat a Democrat incumbent, and I also ran against this Speaker Pro Tem, which had twice as much money as I did. What we lack on the Republican Party is someone that can win in November. And I've proven that I can do that. And I'm the only one that has shown the ability to do that.
Our guest this morning on The Morning Meeting, Will Krause, Missouri District 8 Senator, running for Secretary of State this fall. That primary again coming up on August 2nd. We'll get you out of here on one final note. You were born and raised in the home of the Missouri State Fair. If somebody's going to go just once, what's the one event they can't miss?
At the Missouri State Fair?
Yeah. We've all put our time in there, all three of us.
Well, I don't know about the one thing you can't miss, but I will tell you, I sold corn dogs, so you have to have a Missouri corn dog.
Sure. Mm, sure. Yeah.
You get that, and then you wash it down with a funnel cake and a lemon shake-up, right? That's the way I do it, and it always worked out for me. Will Krause, our guest, thank you so much for the time on the show. Good luck with the campaign, and hopefully we'll be able to talk to you again soon.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been fun.
More Morning Meeting coming up next.
Giving conservatives a voice in the tri-states.
I mean, this stuff moves people.
It's the Morning Meeting on Talk Radio 930 WTAD. WTAD.
If a movie is one of your favorite movies, you should be able to remember the name.
I will tell you exactly what I just told Will Krause, our guest. I should remember that. I've drank most of my memory away. The Sting. Thank you to producer Josh for calling us out or not being able to remember that. Yes.
Now, did you do research
money
on that, Josh, or did you know it when he was referencing it
and
couldn't put a name to it?
He said it sounded familiar.
Should have just yelled it out.
Yeah. You could always
future
feel free
just
to
yell it out, Josh.
Do that. Coming up this morning on The Morning Meeting, we get to hang out with Aaron Baker in just a minute. Morning Meeting official guest countdown clock sitting at 10 minutes until then. Yesterday, Quincy Mayor Kyle Moore had his mayor's lunch in the park.
Yeah.
It was a hot lunch. I was going to say it was a hot. But the mayor, who we will be talking to soon on the show, has joined a group of 42 other statewide mayors who have signed a letter urging Illinois lawmakers to pass a stopgap budget. Now, basically, that letter, it appeared in its entirety in the State Journal Register yesterday, just urging the General Assembly to pass the stopgap introduced by GOP leaders Christine Redonio and Jim Durkin. They also want passage of the bill that would fund K-12. Obviously, all these mayors want the school districts, even though they're not directly part of that oversight. It's part of the state system, but they know how much they mean to their community. So if you want to see the entirety of that, I think we have a link up, or we'll get a link up at WTAD.com. The complete story is there, as well as a look at that letter. Also among mayors in our area to sign that were Camp Point Village President Jerry Gunn, Mount Sterling Mayor Dane Flesner. The full letter is up at WTAD.com, so you can see that and where Mayor Moore weighed in on that.
I'm pulling it up right now if you want to take a look at it. Just scroll to WTAD.com.
You have a wonderful narration voice, Quinn.
Click on the news and sports tab.
I thought you were just going to read the letter.
Oh, no. I'm just... Okay. I was going to open it up, but you finished too quick, and now I'm still scrolling to see where it's at. Here it is. Scott wrote the story yesterday, but it's got Mayor Moore's picture next to it. Shouldn't be that hard to find. Just hit up WTAD.com, go to the news sports tab, and then click down to WTAD News. And that and many other stories waiting for you right there. Just a click away.
What's the opposite of space news?
Underground?
Close
underwater.
Enough.
Underwater?
Close enough. This is the uh-oh of the day today. Large sections of land on both sides of the San Andreas Fault have now been proving to be moving year to year. That's right.
You know what? it's a fault line.
Well, they're
going to move if they're moving little by little. Isn't that better than a jolt?
Well, here's the thing. You cut me off. What they're doing is they're moving vertically, which is different than the predictable horizontal movement that happens between earthquakes. Vertical motion of the land on either side of the fault is more mysterious to researchers. The pattern that they found is, quote, hard to detect, and it came from an array of GPS sensors, so scientists are still trying to develop a statistical model that will make sense of it. The up and down motion occurred on patches of land that are extremely large, more than 125 miles wide, that essentially you're looking at entire counties moving up and down along the fault line. So no word on, they don't know if this is the predictor of, a megaquake, if this is going to result in, a Sharknado or what.
Now, when you talk about movement, whether it's horizontal or vertical, and obviously the vertical has got them spooked in some way.
How much
movement are we talking about? We're talking about millimeters?
We're talking millimeters.
Okay.
But when you're talking about essentially the Earth's crust, they understand the lateral movement that happens as the plates rub against each other.
Right.
But this is apparently new to them. The fact that you have not just small areas of a quarter mile, half mile, mile or two, but essentially tracts of land that are as large as a county that are vertically, that are sort of, almost flowing up and down like that is new data, and they're not sure what it would mean. So I'm not trying to push the panic button or start a hysteria.
There'll be people ready to do that for you because, trust me, we're going to have two things to blame this on. One, fracking. That'll be blamed in 3, 2, it's fracking's fault. And then because it's a catch-all,
Climate change.
Yeah.
Fill
in the blank.
You're breathing life into it.
I'm just saying, I know how these things work. Something's happened. How can I affect change? Don't let a situation go to waste. What does Dwayne say? The issue is always the revolution.
And by the way, they just called for, in order to stop the plates from moving, they're going to need gun control as well.
See?
Coming up now this morning on The Morning Meeting, Aaron Baker is next on The Morning Meeting.
Where we go, others will follow.
That's who we are.
Even if it's not the best idea.
The Morning Meeting on Talk Radio 930 WTAD.
This is Dennis Miller, and you're listening to The Morning Meeting here on Talk Radio 930 WTAD.
It's the Morning Meeting on Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Sean Seacrest, Quaid alongside you. If you missed any of it this morning, you can get the podcast as soon as the show is over. Go to WTAD.com for the most recent 5, and then you can catch up anytime, anywhere you get your podcasts. Our chance to welcome Aaron Baker from Axiom Strategies back to the studio. Aaron, welcome back. Good to see you again.
Hey, it's good to be here. The Will Cross interview went well, it sounded like, and it's good to be back.
He seems really to be a good guy and know what he wants for Missouri. So I think Missouri is in a good spot where they've got multiple candidates to choose from in that upcoming election. When we talked to you last week, we had a number of issues going on, not only sort of getting to know you here on the air, but we're going to have time to dig in not only to the gubernatorial race again this week, but a couple of other items that you and Quaid have been talking about as well. I want to start with some other issues before we get into the candidates specifically. One thing that I wanted to bring up last time to talk about, and we kind of ran out of time, was the issue of mega donors. Missouri has gotten some national press lately because of the political interest and actual capital, as in dollars, that Rex Sinkfeld is infusing into the game. Whether you like his presence, whether you don't like his presence, that's not the issue right now. As someone who is close to the hotbed of politics in Missouri, what do you see as the impact of mega donors? There is some legislation that's been talked about restricting that possibly, and Missouri has drawn kind of a national critique over this subject.
Listen, I think that if you take limits back on to contributions, you're just going to have people that are going to create committees and this dark money, and you're not going to know where it's coming from. If an individual, particularly the donors that we have in Missouri that are supporting conservative candidates, these are conservative donors. They're not doing this to benefit themselves. They believe in smaller government. They believe in limited government. And it's transparent. Now, you mentioned Rex Singfeld. He may give $1 million at a time to candidates, but which I would do, by the way, too, if I had that kind of cash. But Eric Greitens received $1 million donation from a man accused of having a sex slave in his home, and it doesn't even get in the news. And then you have a good Missourian who believes in better government that gives a donation, and the media wants to make it out to be just a negative thing. I don't understand that.
Politics is politics is politics, and it can be applied everywhere. And if you put the constraints, we talked about this, if you put the constraints on donations like that, money still finds a way. They're going to be...
Money's going to find a way.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
I just feel like Rex Singfeld, your listeners probably agree with everything that man stands for. And so we should appreciate what he's doing to try to make Missouri government kick the tail of Illinois. Every day.
Yeah, I know. One of the things I wanted to talk about is the new Missouri gubernatorial poll that's come out since we last had you on last Thursday.
Yeah, it's quite a shakeup.
That has John Bruner by nose plus in front of Catherine Hanaway. The surprising part is that Peter Kinder, who's kind of been everybody's default, is fourth.
He's in a little bit of a free fall, and it looks like, just by the numbers, it looks as if his numbers dropped in the same amount that Greitens went up. Greitens seems to be kind of on a rocket ship towards the top spot here. And Kinder's in a free fall, and that's a little bit because, frankly, it seems as if he's been flat-footed in fundraising. He's behind in fundraising. He's not been able to get on TV, on network TV, in the way the other candidates. And so he's fallen behind. And we found that his support wasn't as solid as everyone thought. It was just kind of, I've heard that name before, so I'm going to support him. Mm-hmm. But when people see these other candidates, they're starting to pick a horse in a race that's not Peter Kinder.
Is that because people feel like they already know his story? He's been in public office. He's been the Missouri Republican that sort of wins every time he runs. I'm not going to accuse it of being fatigue, but as far as news outlets go where he's trying to get on, do they feel like either they or the viewers already know that story, so they're trying to maybe shed some light on other stories?
Well, Kinder just doesn't have the money to be up right now.
So he's just can't buy his
that's
time.
That's right. And if you're not on TV in that moment, people forget all about you. I worked for a guy once that had a bloodhound that was going to sniff out voter fraud. And boy, whenever when he was on TV with that bloodhound, Gus or whatever his name was, he would walk into a gas station. Everyone would ask him about his dog, no matter where he was in Missouri. As soon as those TV ads went down, people forgot that he even had a dog or who he was. And so Kinder's not on network TV. People are forgetting about who he is, and they're going towards people that are.
Top of the mind awareness.
Why is he having trouble fundraising? I mean, that's the question to me. He's the one that should have sort of top of the ballot name ID.
I don't know.
We'll just approach this from a different angle. What are people, donors, intrigued about with Hanaway, Greitens, and Bruner?
They asked. They've made a relationship.
Really that simple right now?
That's right. You have to be aggressive, and it has to be a priority of yours, and has to be a priority early on. I think that people that support these candidates maybe have a long relationship with them and believe in their cause. I will tell you, aside from Greitens, there's not a ton of difference in the platform of these candidates. Greitens and his history and his platform's a lot different. But it's personal relationships. It's who you can gain on your side by just working it.
Aaron Baker, our guest with us this morning on the morning meeting.
We got less than 6 weeks before this primary. How does Peter Kinder flip this around? I understand that he's within 10 points of Bruner's 23% right now, and the undecideds are it's a big number.
Undecideds ahead of everyone else.
Yeah. So what does Peter Kinder have to do to leapfrog some people?
Well, first of all, someone's going to have to stop Greitens. He is, the next time this thing's going to come out, I think he's going to be in the lead.
Wow.
And someone's going to have to point out his background as a liberal and his inconsistencies. And if someone doesn't do that, Greitens is going to win. He has the money to do it.
Let's then follow that up. A couple of weeks ago, the LG PAC started making some waves within the state. People were wondering who was behind the LG PAC. There was some thought that perhaps the LG stood for Lieutenant Governor, that Peter Kinder was behind the LG PAC, throwing some money around, putting some ads together. But it turns out that it's not Peter Kinder at all. And it's a gentleman by the name of Monsus, Hank Monsus, who is behind the LG PAC. But that's also, he's been tied now to Eric Greitens' campaign. And as Sean will tell you, that's not surprising, but it's also not supposed to be happening, is it?
So it's really odd. I was watching the Eric Greitens ad where he blows something up just for the millionth time. And then I watched the spoof of it. I don't know if you've seen it with the farmer and the Mm-mm. truck catches on fire. You'll have to check that out. So I was watching that one more time. And the clip after that was a coverage of the grand opening at Greitens' Kansas City headquarters. And I just happened to look up, and I've worked in Missouri politics since 2002. Mm-hmm. Happened to look up, and it's Hank Monsus, the treasurer of LG PAC, gripping and grinning with Eric Greitens at the campaign headquarters. And later we found that Missouri Times wrote it, I believe, that you can see Hank's shoulder and he's doing dials at mm-hmm. the campaign, volunteering mm-hmm. for the campaign. You cannot have significant conversations and discussions with a campaign if you're running a pack to this type of pack that's not coordinating.
Right. Election law says that these two things need to be separate. And obviously there's pictorial evidence. I don't know, there's a video evidence.
That's right. It's the B-roll of the KMBC TV mm-hmm. coverage right. is where it came from.
Yeah. And that was just yesterday that but Greitens says that no, there's no relationship there.
And Hank Monsus says that he didn't make any calls. The Greitens campaign says he made 10 calls. It's just kind of weird, you know, and the whole thing is against, you know, this guy. Greitens was supposed to go to Jefferson City and change thing, and mm-hmm. is against dark money and you know, this guy of ethics standards, and he's the one going around and doing it appears going around and doing this type of activity.
And Quaid pointed at me earlier, and I am a believer that election laws and campaign laws are what they are, but that this kind of thing happens on the regular, and maybe not face-to-face, but certainly through intermediaries, that there is contact. There is a flow of information both ways.
But you have to follow the law.
But you have to follow the law.
Yeah, but you can I understand that. You can follow the
law.
I'm
so glad that
front.
Aaron is here.
I am glad he's here too. You can follow the law, and if you're the candidate and I'm the PAC, we cannot talk to each other.
That's right.
But that doesn't mean I can't send Josh to talk to one of your people.
It's not the individual, it's the campaign.
That doesn't mean I can't send Josh to talk to
Josh
one of your staffers.
Part of the campaign.
And then,
so at the end of the day, this whole thing reeks.
I just think I'm not passing a moral judgment on it. I'm just saying that I think that contact like this happens regularly at any level in which significant money is involved. Gubernatorial races, Senate races, all of these things. I just think that there's got to be a flow of information at some point, even if it's on the, quote, dark market.
I disagree.
Really? Okay.
You do it right. I believe if you do it right, you set up the committee, you follow the law and you set up the committee, and maybe you pick a treasurer from another state, but there's got to be the firewalls that these two never associate with each other and never talk, because I mean, it is what it is. And you know, we don't make the rules, but we follow them.
I guess I'm too much of a conspiracy
That's all
theorist.
Right. And I'm not saying everyone is honest about it. Apparently, you know, some think that Greitens hasn't been.
So the question is how closely related, how intertwined is this pack, the LG pack, in the Greitens campaign?
It is unclear at this time. We do know that he's going after, obviously, Greitens' number one target, which is John Bruner, mm-hmm. because they have similar lanes that they're in, and
right.
and that's who the LG pack is targeting. This chapter has not closed yet, and the reporting on it continues today.
Okay,
Aaron Baker, our guest this morning on the morning meeting.
Because Sean and I have had this
yes,
conversation.
Yes, we've had this out on the
few
show
different
before.
Times.
I guess I would ask this follow up, and maybe I'm just asking it in a different way. If Greitens is in front, who's most likely to unseat him from that position in your eye? You mentioned Kinder's in a free fall. You've got Bruner, the businessman, Hannaway, sort of the known commodity for her roles that she's had in Missouri politics. Which one of them seems likely to unseat?
Bruner should have the funding to go after him and is currently on top. But I continue to this day say that each one of these has an equal chance of winning, but somebody's going to have to stop Greitens.
Aaron Baker, our guest this morning on the morning meeting. I want to get to the fun thing that we were talking about, but there's one more race that I want to touch on. We spent a lot of time talking about the gubernatorial race. It is not a coalesced platform in Missouri, where you get a governor and then their pick for lieutenant governor. It's a separate election. What are you hearing? Is there anything interesting developing in the lieutenant governor's race?
So Bev Randles is kind of the Tea Party firebrand, so to speak, in that race. African-American, was chaired the Club for Growth in Missouri from the Kansas City area. She is slightly ahead of State Senator Mike Parson, who has ag cred in the rural communities, getting a lot of signs up. That race is anyone's to win or lose. It does seem that the Republican grassroots, maybe the Tea Party activists, lean Randles, and the ag groups, the cattlemen types, lean Parson. And it'll be interesting to see where that shakes out. It's pretty even game right there.
Aaron Baker, our guest this morning on the morning meeting.
The thing I wanted to ask you before we wrap this session with you is there's been murmurs that there are some Missouri GOP delegates who want to unbind themselves from Donald Trump. Can they do that?
Well, it's not illegal to do so. It's just against party rules. I believe that the national rules are set up in a way that you must adhere to them in the party's structure. I do know the individuals that are making that decision. I do believe, as hard as it is for some folks, that, you know, a nominee has won and should be supported if you can. I don't know how that's going to shake out. It's not coming from a particular presidential campaign that's been suspended or anything like that. It's just kind of folks going rogue that cannot hold their nose and support someone that they didn't support in the primary.
Aaron Baker, Axiom Strategies, our guest this morning on the morning meeting. I was teasing Quaid with this earlier because I didn't want him to get totally sidetracked with excitement and anticipation. I want to break out the text that Aaron sent me last night, Craig. He said, I want to update the governor's race, which we did. He said, I also want to have some fun and determine which Star Wars character each candidate would be.
Ooh.
See, and I told you, this guy, he's right. Ooh. He's right in tune with our sort of meta consciousness.
Yes.
Right here. So we've got five major players: Catherine Hanaway, Eric Greitens, John Bruner, Peter Kinder, Chris Koster from the Democrat side. If Quaid throws me
a pen, we would like to have them back on the show.
Hey, I'm not going to make the picks. Aaron's going to make the picks.
Aaron, he's already done this. Okay,
yeah,
good.
He's already done the research, and I have a feeling that's what his paper is in front of him. So first of all, yeah. I am just ecstatic to have a fellow political mind who also knows enough about the Star Wars universe on here.
Yes.
That he feels comfortable making some equations between candidates and characters. And I've been looking forward to this ever since I got that text.
I need some sound effects
last night. This is going to be fantastic. So this is your opportunity. Where do you want to start? Because I am excited.
Okay, so I'm always going to start with Eric Greitens.
All right, let's do it.
So clearly, Eric Greitens is Anakin Skywalker. He's struggled with the dark side his entire life. From the beginning a little bit, and now at the end, it's my understanding that he did not even fill out a Missouri Right to Life survey. So didn't try for their endorsement. To me, that's probably the most important survey a Republican candidate for governor, you know, in a Republican primary. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, life is the most fundamental platform plank that we have, and this guy. So Eric Greitens to me is Anakin Skywalker.
Wow.
Young Anakin or older?
Both. Just the whole struggle.
Pod racing Anakin?
Okay.
Hot-headed and
no,
just
he was
struggled
still cute
the entire
at that
time.
Point. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you've got a struggling Anakin. All right. So from Greitens, let's go to John Bruner.
Okay. So John Bruner is Han Solo. Super good guy.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
He's good guy. You always want to have him on your side. But just seems like every once in a while, he's in the wrong galaxy at the wrong time. And he should have won the U.S. Senate race, but I'm not sure that in his heart and in everyone else's heart, I feel like people think that he should have been a senator and not a governor.
Would he shoot Greedo first?
It's unknown.
It's known.
You fell into that trap. You fell into that trap.
There is film that supports both theories.
That's right.
Which I think makes that a lot of fun. Peter Kinder.
So Peter Kinder is Obi-Wan Kenobi. I mean, the guy has been through so many battles, tons of wisdom. But in the end, he's going to eventually probably be beat by one of his own. You like that?
Wow.
That's deep.
Deep. Following Peter Kinder on some damn fool idealistic crusade.
Catherine Hanaway.
In my mind, Catherine Hanaway, of course, General Leia. Not Princess Leia, but the general. Like the go-to, we need to kick some tail, we need to get things right. Catherine Hanaway, the only kind of female in the story.
Okay.
So there's a chance that she's going to have some offspring with John Bruner?
Now, who have you had on the show so far?
You've painted yourself into this corner, Aaron.
Did I walk into that?
You did kind of walk into that one. We're just having fun with that.
They are. They're both good candidates.
That's
we'll
not
going to
be
that.
The case. And finally, Chris Koster. He looks like he's going to be the guy coming out of the Democrat side.
Put you on the spot here.
Chris Koster. He's already the chosen. So where would that put him if he's already the chosen?
Han's son's name?
Ben.
Well, yeah, but that's not. I mean, you don't learn that until parts. Not to give anything away from.
If you haven't seen it
Force
by now,
Awakens.
I'm not worried about it.
I was going to track back further than that and go Maul, but okay, you could go there. But okay. that then makes Koster Bruner's son.
He had to be. He was born into decency. He was a Republican at first.
Yes, he was.
So he's got to be. What's Han's son's name again? What do they call him in the
Kylo,
movie?
Kylo Ren.
That's Chris Koster.
Koster is Kylo Ren.
Write that down.
Got it.
Okay. Very interesting. Now, I'm almost afraid to ask the final question that's on my mind. What do you see Quaid and I as? I'm putting him on the spot. Aaron Baker, I guess, this morning.
I just feel like you all are at that bar.
Yes, we are. We're the band at the cantina in Mos Eisley.
Where's that cantina at?
And you're
going to
show
physical
up.
Physical structure.
You're going to keep showing up.
Kingdom City
in the movies.
I think
it's
might
a truck
be.
Stop in Kingdom City is where that cantina is. Yeah. In the physical structure. Believe me, go there. You'll get it. It's right on I-70.
I'll keep thinking on that.
A little bit of fun this morning with Aaron Baker from Axiom Strategies, our guest. We'll be catching up with him each Thursday as we head down toward the general election coming up in Missouri. Aaron, thank you so much for the time and the insight. We appreciate it.
We'll do it again.
We'll wrap it up with a little bit of despair to top off the show next on The Morning Meeting.
Giving conservatives a voice in the tri-states.
I mean, this stuff moves people.
It's The Morning Meeting on Talk Radio 930 WTAD. WTAD.
Just a couple of moments left here on The Morning Meeting. Thanks again to our guests, Will Krause and Aaron Baker. That was a lot of Missouri, but a lot of good stuff on what is going on in Missouri. Candidates, political races. If you missed any of it or you missed some of the references, you can get the podcast as soon as we're done here today. I promised a little bit of misery here at the end of the show after enjoying ourselves for most of the hour. Mm-hmm. The trustees who do the independent reviews on the government's bedrock social welfare programs, Social Security and Medicare. No good news. Social Security still slated to run out of funds in 2034. Medicare so depleted that they moved that number up to 2028. That they will be completely out of the monies.
We've been hearing this our whole lives. It's the shell game, all right? So one of these days,
exactly
we're
going
to pick up a shell, and it's going to be the wrong one.
It's going to do
eventually.
It for us. Coming up tomorrow on The Morning Meeting, the Iowa Republican. Hopefully he doesn't stand us up 2 weeks in a row. That and IA returns with another On the Street package tomorrow.
Looking forward to
right
it.
Here on The Morning Meeting.
Morning Meeting adjourned. Join us again tomorrow for the best talk in the tri-states. The Morning Meeting on Talk Radio 930 WTAD.